Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
That's on the radio.
And we're online as well.
Wow.
If you want to listen to us talk about video games.
More than in this time.
You want to go back and check out old episodes to hear old video game news and controversy.
Yes.
Go and check us out on umfm.com.
There you go. Good plug, Megan.
I can do it sometimes.
Yeah.
So, as we have stated, we talk about video games. We collect video games, we get angry about video games, and we get really excited about video games.
Video games.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Alice.
And what games have you been playing?
None.
Well done.
Well, okay. We'll get into it, but we have been watching a lot of anime, and because of that, I've decided to check out the things that the said anime has been based on, which primarily is visual novels. So, like, and obviously we're not just talking about anime for, because I like anime, or I like certain animes.
Anime influences a lot of video games, and video games influence a lot of anime.
Absolutely. Do you think Persona 5 would have been made without anime?
Never. No.
Never. So specifically, like, me personally, I've been looking into, it's the When They Cry series by 7th Expansion. And they're a visual novel, they're a murder mystery kind of situation. And when I say visual novel, it's basically, there are characters, and there are scenes and music, but you don't really have that much control over anything. I think there's maybe in the lines of you maybe make some minor choices.
Like a choose your own adventure sort of situation?
Slightly, yes. Yeah, choose your own adventure is probably about the best way to put it. But it's visual, right? You see things. Characters also talk. There's quite a lot of spoken dialogue. I will say it's in Japanese. Like, this is all subtitled. The Japanese version is called Higurashi no Nakukoro ni, and it's extremely popular. Like, I feel I'm talking about it now because there is a new anime that's out, but this is a series that's been out since, like, 2004, like, 2003. Like, it's pretty old, the video game. Let's see, if I want to be exactly specific. Yeah, 2002.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and this started off as, like, somebody's, basically, it was not a fan game, but their own indie game that they made themselves. They did the art themselves, used a lot of, like, assets, like, flipped, like, stock photos, stock sounds, but it gained a really big cult following. Like, it was a while before, I would say, it got picked up over here.
When you're telling me the history of this, you mentioned that it was distributed at the comics market.
Yes, yeah. So there's in Japan, like we have Comic-Con, they have a thing called Comiquette, which is, you know, people make their own fan comics, fan merch, fan video games, or just that's a place for them to sell their up-and-coming games. So that's where they sold theirs. They didn't do very well, apparently, but people who got it, they offered to send them, like, the next edition or the next installment of the game, and it's sort of, I think, word of mouth picked up that it was good, and it is, I think, maybe probably the most the visual novel that's sold the most ever. Like, it is probably the most popular visual novel.
See, that's an amazing thing to do with an indie project. Like you said, it was like 50 copies that went out.
Yeah. Once again, 2002, and there have been, I want to say, I think we're on, like, the fourth or fifth anime of this series, which is pretty big. The cool thing about the anime is actually it's continuing the story rather than just being a remake like the other ones were of the story. But so basically this revolves around you play as a bunch of different characters, and by play, I mean you see from the perspective, because once again, this is a visual novel. Basically, most of it's been written out for you, but you are sort of enjoying the ride, right? I would say, once again, for people who like reading, this is great because you can do a lot of reading. But it's basically a story about a little Japanese village in the 1980s. And this is interestingly specific. It's 1980s. And it sort of starts to feature this one character. His name is Keiichi. And he is sort of newer to this place. Hinamizawa, I believe it's what it's called. And he's sort of introduced to the world, as we are, by, you know, the other characters. So there's Mion, Rena, Rika, and Satoko. And those are, like, sort of the main characters that interact with Keiichi and interact with, like, I guess you, the player, as well. And basically, the way that this game starts off is very... It's interesting because... And the anime does this too, where it sets it off like it's very kind of boring slice of life, school life, anime, video game. Like, it's just they're having fun, they're playing games.
It's very deceptive.
Yeah, and it's just sort of like, hee-hee, ha-ha, we're just having fun with our friends. And it, like, the thing is that it sets it up quite well as sort of something very innocent and boring. Right?
Right.
And I think it does this a lot, like, and not to say that things don't do this now, but at the time, like, I think the uncanniness between sort of the creepy things that maybe some of the characters say and how they look mm-hmm. versus how they look in general, which is sort of like, you know, your typical cute anime girl, right, with different colored hair. That's, you know, that's what this is. But in the end, it's basically, there is a sort of a curse or that... Basically, if anybody leaves the village, then something bad will happen. And similarly, every year on this festival, it's like the Cotton Drifting Festival, people die. So Keiichi starts to sort of get a little paranoid because he asks his friends about this and they sort of don't. They're like, nah, nothing really happened. No, don't worry about it. Like, they very specifically are like, no, nothing happened here. And he, you know, he sees papers, he talks to other people, and they're like, yeah, things happen. But his friends, you know, the people who he is closest to at this time, he doesn't really believe them, right? Or he's sort of, like, worried that they're out to get him. And I will say, like, I know what happens. I've watched both of the animes, and I've read, and I actually started playing the first one, but I know what happens. And it's sort of interesting because I don't want to give it away because basically this game is sort of divided into arcs. So there's one arc and basically what happens is the loop will reset. And I don't want to sort of give away, but basically after one arc is completed, another arc starts and basically it resets the whole scenario.
They call them question and answer arcs in this one?
Yes. Yes. So basically, all of the question arcs are basically sort of the wacky stuff that happens. And for those of you who are interested, if you want to play it, the question arcs are basically all of the questions. And you are supposed to play them before you do the answer arcs. Because then the answer arcs explain why characters were doing things in the question arc.
That's a cool way of doing it because it gets you some answers and be like, why would this person act in this way for this very specific reason where it's so
and it does wild. It does answer sort of like what the whole thing is going on and why and like the bigger picture. And then this game also leads into like several other series. Like in the, it's called the When They Cry series. The other one is Umineko no Nakukoroni, which is that one. The Higurashi is like cicadas, where the cicadas cry or when the cicadas cry. And Umineko is when the seagulls cry. The cicadas very specifically refer to sort of like that end of summertime that Higurashi is sort of placed in. Whereas the seagulls takes place on an island. That's why.
Much closer to the sea.
Yeah, that's why there's seagulls. And that one, I don't know how interested I am in playing it myself. It is apparently longer than, like, one of the longest Bible books in the world. Like, that's how long it is.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And not to say that I'm not interested, because I'm fairly interested in this, because we watched the anime, and the anime is apparently not a very good adaptation of it. But it intrigued me enough that I want to play the game. So we'll see, but that is a little longer than I want to spend my life.
I know it was popular enough to spawn a PS3 version.
Yep, there's a PS3 version, there's a PlayStation 4 version, there's a Switch version.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so once again, if you're interested in any of these games, they are available, they're all translated. There was a recent one, I believe it's called, like, Siconia. And it is, like, I think it's the first visual novel to be simultaneously, like, released in English and Japanese, it's subtitled, because of the fan, like, how much fans love these series.
Right.
Which is a testament to it. Like, I would say if you're interested into, a murder mystery sort of visual novel situation, it is a very intriguing story. And, like, for those of you, like, I will say, I don't believe the original edition of Higurashi is available on Steam. There is a redone version with, like, redone art and music, which I don't know, like, how much the experience changes. I will say, like, it's not to say that the art previous was the best art in the world, but once again, this was sort of, like, one person putting most of this together, so there's a lot of, like, leeway. And once again, it's a pretty big triumph. Once again, this is a huge, it's pretty big. It's genuinely a very interesting story.
It's probably the writing that sold most of it.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, that's the large portion of the game it wasn't the visuals. I can tell you that. But once the visuals that have been redone they're quite nice. Like they're your typical sort of anime visual novel. I would say the designs in Umineko and Higurashi, like, are very interesting. Like, it's just, like, the fashion that is used in it is very specific.
It's 80s.
Yeah, it's 80s. It's a lot of, especially in Umineko, it's a lot of, like, Lolita brand fashion, which is really interesting because a lot of the characters are not, like, that is not what they would, that is not their wear kind of thing, but it works.
That strikes me as more of like an early 2000s style choice more than an 80s style choice. I'm not sure how popular Lolita style was in the 80s.
No, you're wrong. You're super wrong. It's like incredibly popular.
In the 80s?
Yeah.
I guess I know something new.
Yeah. Honestly, like it's quite popular, especially in Japan. Like, yeah.
All right. So that is something worth checking out if you want to do some cool reading.
Yeah. Once again, it is a lot of reading, but it's genuinely very interesting. If you're interested in more of like, yeah, a something to read rather than play, I guess, you know, it's still very interesting.
If you got to give your thumbs a bit of a rest.
Yeah.
So, I started a free-to-play game on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
You encouraged me to start Genshin Impact.
Yes. Because it was free.
It's free, and it's become quite popular. I'm finding a lot more of it lately.
Yes, well, that was sort of the thing. I was like, I know it's popular, and I'm like, well, it must not be that bad if it is a free game that people are actually enjoying, kind of thing, right? Yeah. Like, and it's, like, huge.
It's an open world.
For a free game.
Yeah, it is not a little game. And it took a while to download. I'm going to point that out.
Yeah. Like, obviously, this has a microtransactions. Like, right, you could pay your way to the top.
So that is one thing to be wary of, is that you can very easily accidentally start spending a lot of money trying to get the characters and weapons that you want.
Oh, there's certain characters that you can buy?
Yeah, so...
Oh...
Or take the chance of getting.
I see.
It's got a gacha system.
Ah, yeah, of course it does.
But it also has a pity system, so if there's a certain amount of rolls, like 10 rolls, you will definitely get a tier 4 or 5 character.
Okay, after a certain amount. Yeah. That's kind of nice, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's probably more like the gacha aspect is not as blatant, maybe, because there's just more stuff to do. Like, it's open worldy to that extent.
Yeah, and you do gain some pretty wicked characters as you go along. It's through the story.
Yeah, because there's actually a story as
which
well.
Which is amazing.
Like, it's not just, once again, it's not just a free-to-play game. Like, when I saw this, I said it kind of looked Breath of the Wild-like. Like, that is probably...
It is incredibly like Breath of the Wild. You can go climbing on things with a stamina bar. You can dash around. I haven't found anything you can ride. I will say that.
Maybe.
You can destroy a lot of the... landmarks, and collect vegetables and animals to eat, and
cool, yeah.
It's very, very like that. If you're looking for something else to play that is of that vein, and you don't want to wait,
if you don't have a Switch, right?
Yeah, you can play it. It's coming to the Switch.
Oh, cool. Well, I was like, but if you don't have a Switch, this is kind of
So they're going to be porting it to the Switch and the PlayStation 5, but for now it is on the PlayStation 4, Windows, iOS, and Android. So this has bad. This has a lot of influence on like the mobile game scene.
Yes, absolutely. Like I would say it maybe just started out as like a mobile game situation.
Which is ridiculous because yeah. this is such a massive game. Like you'd have to have a pretty good phone to
play it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty basic story. You are you start with a pair of twins who travel from world to world and they've come across this world called Teyvat, and there is a goddess who is in charge, who is not too keen on the fact that you've been hopping from world to world.
Oh.
So this is how you choose whether you're going to be the boy character or the girl character, is which twin survives. Or does not survives, but doesn't get kidnapped by the goddess. And you can nickname your character. There's not a whole lot of customization, I will say that. But they just refer to you as the Traveler.
Okay, so it's just so you're player character.
Your player, character. Yeah. And you get a cutesy sidekick named Paimon, who explains how the world's rules work, how the magic works.
Yeah, it's like a very mascot-y character. Yeah.
And she speaks in the third person, which can start off cute, but can very easily become very grating after a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paimon doesn't like that.
Really, I don't like it either.
There is an elemental system, and it is a your basic, like, fire, water, ice, electricity, earth, wind.
Yeah, earth. Yeah, yeah.
So, you figure out your enemies have weaknesses, and it's a real-time battle situation, sort of same as Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
It's not a turn-based.
And you can switch between characters, right?
You can switch between characters. You can have, I believe, up to 10 characters that you can choose from.
Wow.
4 in your party.
Oh, okay.
And you can. There's actually a multiplayer to this as well. You can have up
like
to 4.
Online multiplayer?
Online multiplayer. If you're in the same area going to go towards a dungeon,
okay.
It will match you up with people. On the same mission. So that is an interesting thing I haven't played with yet. I've been having so much fun as a single player situation. But yeah, the monetization, the gacha system, you can actually gain the things that you need to do the gacha system as you complete quests, complete the story. So you don't really need to spend money to play and get other characters.
Yeah.
You just make sure that if children are playing this, that they aren't.
Yeah, money stuff is turned off. Yeah.
So, as I get further along in this game, I definitely still want to play it because it's very easy to get into. I'm enjoying for just even the anime.
It's cute. It's visually good looking. It's, once again, I am very surprised for a free game to be this good and this big. Like, obviously, microtransactions, don't like that. But like, if you want to play a free, good game that's kind of like Breath of the Wild, like, in that sort of exploring aspect.
I will point out there has been some controversy with this as far as security goes.
Yeah, okay.
So, be aware of that, and
they're probably fixing it.
Yeah,
like,
they
obviously
have been patching things in.
Yeah.
So, just be aware that that has been an issue in the past, but I think I do want to check it out on the Switch when it comes out on the Switch.
Yeah.
Now, before we wrap up this episode, there was a Nintendo Direct.
Yeah.
And I am excited about this Nintendo Direct because I am a fan of Pokemon.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of Pokemon too. And I don't know how I feel about it. So we're getting remastered versions of Diamond and Pearl.
A lot of people are not too keen on the style that they've chosen.
Yep.
But I think it's cute.
I think it could have been a better choice. I think it's a little too stumpy. For those of you who don't know, basically they've taken the sprites from the game and they've made them into 3D models without, adapting for the fact that this is not on a tiny squish screen that it was on. And that is a choice. I don't necessarily think it's a good one. They give me a weird block toy vibe.
I think they saw the success of Link's Awakening and figured they could do something very similar with the Pokemon series.
I don't think those two games are similar in any way.
In the navigation of the worlds and between the Game Boy games, there's very similar constraints.
Sure, but this wasn't a Game Boy game. This was a DS game.
But it still functioned very much the same.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, the DS was way more powerful than the Game Boy.
It was more powerful, but you were still confined to those pixelated squares.
Sure, but I would say you could also... There were other games, tons of games on the DS that elongated characters. Like, I don't think that's a good excuse at all. Like, at all.
I'm still going to keep my eye open for it, and I'm going to pick it up.
No, I think... But I... Like, I... Sorry, I'm right about that. Like... There's no reason other than a weird stylistic choice. And I feel that they could have done it just in a better way. Like, I'm kind of fine with the squished characters, but I think they really should have just... They remind me too much of, like, weird character blocks. Like, Mega Block characters.
Yeah, and...
Or Duplo versions of Pokemon. And I'm like, is this because we're going to get Pokemon Lego and they want to easily segue into that?
It does feel like a step back after what we've gotten with I Choose You, Pikachu, and Eevee, where you could still have... Yeah,
well,
I guess
like
a taller...
full-bodied character that... It just feels weird. I think it will be fine, but I think that will be a visual thing that will be, like, a pretty big thing against it that people will be turned off. Once again, that was the first Pokemon I played myself, so, like, I have fond memories of it, but I'm not really interested stylistically. Now, Pokemon Legends is way more interesting, but it also looks very broken.
For now, because it's coming out in 2022.
Yeah,
so
but
I'm hoping,
early 2022.
I'm going to hope that they are going... If they need to push it back to make a good game...
Please push it back. Pokemon Legends is like... what is it? Sinnoh? Is it Sinnoh region is what they're saying?
You're still in the same region as the remake of Diamond and Pearl.
But you're like a million years in the past. Well, not a million. But you're like...
You're a few hundred years in the past.
So it's vintage-y rural Japan kind of version of Pokemon. But it's also something sort of like Ghost of Tsushima a little bit, running around and hiding in the grass from Pokemon.
Yeah,
like,
so
there's a lot of sneaking, it looks like.
And they have changed the battle system, which is something I'm pretty excited to see what they're going to do with it. Because it's just, people are speculating it's going to be an active time battle like Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Okay.
So you will get close to a Pokemon and your partner Pokemon will be able to battle for you. And you'll be able to... choose your attacks like you would in a regular battle, but also I think there's going to be an aspect of that active time battle.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. This is called Pokemon Legends Arceus. Let me fix that. Which Arceus is the god, the Pokemon god. He made everybody. He made everything. Everything and Pokemon. That's his lore in the Pokemon universe. He's god.
So the ongoing debate is which is the first Pokemon? Arceus, Mew, Rhyhorn, or Bulbasaur?
Yeah, depending on, what? Who knows? It looks cool. I think this one is one I'm more interested in than the remake of Diamond and Pearl. Yes, I do very much hope that they decide to push it back because this could be a really, really cool game. But it could also, like, just the previews that they were showing us, that the frame rate, just some of it just wasn't, and Pokemon and Nintendo are pretty, like, they want stuff to be, high quality.
Right?
Like, they're fine with pushing things back.
Normally they want to make sure that the game they put out is a good game.
I was like, they're fine with pushing it back. People aren't, right? People will be like, oh my god, you said... And I'll be like, I'm sorry.
In the meantime, if you don't want to play a traditional Pokemon game, you can go and play Pokemon Snap.
Yeah, that's coming out pretty soon.
So they also had that on the Nintendo Direct. So it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to play that.
Yeah.
So that is your Pokemon update 2021. The first one of the year, I guess.
Kind of. There was a Nintendo Direct last week that told us about...
Pokemon update.
Yeah, but it told us about Pokemon Snap, so you're wrong.
All right, everybody. That's everything we got for this week. You have some murder mysteries to play. I have some Genshin Impact to play.
Yeah.
And keep changing.
Bye.